Hello, everybody. I am Princess April, and with me is Zinli. Hello, Zinli.
Hi. I'm here.
So I've done a couple of these so far. I've done one with Boots, with Little Mistress Boots, and I've done one with Pretty Please Kill Me Now, my friend. And now I get to do one with Zinli, and they all seem to correspond with major GWA projects that I care about, that are very, very special to me. And every one of them has said yes, and Zinli is the latest one. And I'm so grateful, Zinli, for you to not only to be here and talking to me now, it's such a just an honor to talk to you, but also that you were willing to do this crazy, insane audio with me, because I wasn't sure.
Yes. Well, absolutely. I very much enjoy the darker forms of audio creation. So when I read the script, I was like, this is awesome. Holy shit. I want to do this.
Excellent. Outstanding. So we'll get into that. But I want to start with a little bit of people might be listening to this after they've just listened to it. Mm-hmm. So I have in the past done some aftercare stuff for some of my audios, because a lot of my stuff is dark. People know mm-hmm. that. And, but my strategy is, I don't know if I have a good strategy, but I do it anyway. Do you ever do aftercare?
In the audios, I normally do not do aftercare. I'm actually really bad at writing it, even though I enjoy listening to it quite a bit. Usually what I'll do is I'll make completely separate what I call comfort audios, kind of what mm-hmm. a lot of people do. And I'll just go through things in that separate audio. But normally in erotic audios, I just end it. I'm just like, all right, well, that was wonderful. Thank you. Goodbye. No, I'm just kidding.
Yes, yes. Yeah, I don't usually do it in the audio itself, because I'm trying to tell a story. And mm-hmm. usually my stories end the way they end. And I don't want to sort of bring people out of that. But I sometimes I'll do the separate ones. And usually that comes to down to like this, I'm okay and you're okay kind of thing. Like, I'm okay and that no Aprils or Zinlis were harmed in the making of Corporately Owned.
Well, you said your throat was pretty messed up by the end of that.
It wasn't so much that, it was just I was exhausted.
Okay.
You know.
I was like, wait, did harm something. It was your poor throat.
Yeah. Well, that may be true, but it was more I was hyperventilating and exhausted by the end.
Yes.
And that recording, the recording of the victim, which is I played the victim, was done over the course of several days. Ooh. So it wasn't like it was all one sitting, you know.
Fair.
And then you're okay in that it's okay for you to be turned on by this fantasy, right? It's okay to explore some of these darker ideas and scenarios, and it can be cathartic. And
absolutely. Yeah, you did a great job of combining like fear play with, I told you when I was like recording it and reading it that I was getting super aroused by it, because it was hot, April. Like, damn. You did so good writing this.
Just the writing part, you mean?
Yeah. When I was reading it, I was like, holy shit, what is happening? And then when you actually like sent me the recording of what was going on, I've listened to it multiple times at this point. And yeah, it gets me going every time. Just so you know.
Excellent.
You did great.
That's so cool. It's so cool. Because when I made it, boy, you know, how that came to be is a whole story. But just to round out our little aftercare thing, our stupid little useless aftercare that people are going to be like very disappointed in, like, all you need to know is that obviously Corporately Owned isn't real. Like, no, mm-hmm. nobody was really harmed. And the whole point of making it is to give you chills, to give you those feelings that you didn't know were possible. Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, how did it come about? Like, how, because you clearly thought this out pretty well, like, where did the ideas for this come from?
So the initial idea was I was going to do like, this was, I don't know, 9 months ago. I was thinking, oh, I should do a sci-fi thing. Like, I should do what I wanted to do was a deep space escort service. And I might still do this. I might still write this, but basically an android woman who goes around in her little personal starship and provides, you know, services like sex services to lonely space travelers who are out there, miners and stuff like that, who have to take stuff from one planet to another, and they just spend, you know, time and space alone by themselves. Yep. And so this is what she does. She provides this service.
Sounds like we need that in coronavirus too.
Right? In the pandemic. And so I had this idea. I'm like, well, how would she contact you? And would there be some kind of questionnaire or protocol that she would use to adjust her personality or way of interacting with you to cater to your kinks and cater to what turns you on, right? So I had this sound effects idea of her contacting you and doing this whole questionnaire kind of thing or something, you know, some sci-fi something, reading your mind or something.
Yeah.
And I might still do something like this, but I messed with it a little bit and I was like, this is pretty cool, but I'm kind of not feeling it right now. So I kind of shelved it. And then I found this 3D artist studio called Faux Studios or Studio Faux, Studio F-O-W. And they do some insane stuff. It's insane to the point where it's like we would need, you know, spoilers to keep it safe from people. But it includes demons having sex with women. Right? That horror type thing.
Yeah. Explore a galaxy full of aliens and try your hardest not to fuck it up.
Right. That's Subverse. That's their latest. That's a game they've run, but they have also done videos and the videos are amazing.
Ooh, that sounds cool.
Amazing. They've done like, what was it? Code Valentine is the big one that I can watch over and over and over again. And the Kanochoi series.
Wow.
Amazing.
This looks really cool. And I love that on their front page, it says, engage your dicks. It's time to fap.
It is brutal and amazing stuff. And I'm like, this speaks to me on the fundamental April level. And so I'm like, what I want to do is create something like this, that size difference, that beast having sex with a smaller girl kind of thing in a sci-fi environment. So I dusted off my little deep space escort service and I said, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to create a rape bot. I'm going to create a whole fiction about, you know, slaves being bred and basically unknown that they're slaves until their 19th birthday so that they don't have all that, so they can, you know, grow up as a normal person. And then they're told, right? Mm-hmm. And this one has escaped. And so I'm like, I'm not sure I can do this. I'm not sure I can pull this off, but I'm going to try it anyway. Like the idea was good enough for me to try to write it.
Yeah.
And so I did. And that's how it started. That's how it came about.
Okay.
Like that's the short version of the origin of it anyway.
Yeah, that was the part that you just mentioned that was actually felt the darkest to me. Like we're going to raise your child until they're ready to be done, like bred and stuff. That was, to me, that was actually the part where I was kind of like, oh, I don't know. Ooh, are my morals okay with this? I don't know.
Right. Okay, so you got a little, so that LSI was like that too. So
yeah.
when he heard it for the first time, because I gave it to him before I asked you, because I had done my own recording of it, and he was like, man, this is amazing, but boy, did I feel bad for this girl.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
especially
that was the one
when
I was just kind of, ooh, but that was the only part, everything else.
Right.
Yeah, my demented soul was okay with.
Well, I'm sorry that upset you.
Oh, no, it wasn't so much as upset. It was more of just like, wow, that really
That's sucks. Dark.
I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. So that sort of leads me into what did you think when I first approached you about this audio? Like, I gave you the full on info dump about it. And mm-hmm. like in Discord, I there was multiple messages that were full 2,000 characters that I was like, okay, Zinli, mm-hmm. here's the deal. And I just wanted to give you everything that I could. And I wanted you to know everything so that I was upfront about what it was.
You definitely did. You let me know everything that I was getting into right from the start. I usually, I love making audios solo, but my favorite thing to do, hands down, is to do collab audios. So when you approached me, I was like, yes, let's do it. Let's get it done. And I remember I was pretty busy at the time. Like through this whole process is when I quit my job. So like, I remember being so busy at work when you were trying to tell me all this stuff. And I was like, yes, I would like to do it. My time is minimal, but I would love to make this happen. So yeah, you did a great job, like coming to me and just laying it all out on the table.
Right. And being super patient, because like, if I'm going to come to you, I'm going to give you lots of time to do it. Like, I'm not going to sit there and say, oh, I need this in 2 weeks, Zinli. Come on. Mm-hmm. What's going on? You know, because you're doing me a favor, you know, I want you to work with me again. Right. So I wanted to make this as easy as possible for you.
Oh, you're so sweet.
Which is why it was like, I needed to complete the audio, like really complete it. Like, it was thought through and done by the time I even approached you.
Yeah, you put in so much effort. Like, this project is amazing. The way that you mapped it out, you mapped everything out. The script was awesome. The way that it flowed, the way that the narration flowed and matched with your acting so well. It was awesome.
Thank you. And it's the process of it is such a, it's such an interesting thing, because the script, you know, I wrote the initial script and then I started to create the audio. And once you start creating the audio and putting together the sound effects and trying to perform the victim and trying to tell a story, like really tell a story that is timed with those sound effects, and you have all that stuff in there, that means everything changes. Everything changes. The narrator's, you know, what the narrator says changes until I'm done with the audio.
Yep.
And so it's this repetitive sort of, we're going to do this again and make the sound effects and now change the narrator, what the narrator says. Now I'm going to play the victim and change what the victim says. I'm changing what the robot says. I'm changing the sound effects again. I'm switching it over like, oh, this doesn't work, so I need to change that. And so it was this iterative process where the completed script couldn't be completed until the audio was completed. You know, that's what made it so hard.
Yeah. So much effort. I like to think that I can write a script if I really put my mind to it, but I don't think I could have written anything like that, honestly.
Well, yeah. I mean, and the thing is, I've been doing it stuff like that for a long, long time. So it's fun. I can't tell you how much fun that is. Like, the process of creating something like that, when you've got the idea and when you know it's a good enough idea, like,
and seeing it through to completion. Yeah. Rewarding.
Yeah. It is. It's super rewarding. And it's one of those things, like I told you in Discord right before we released it, I was like, this is going to be one of those audios that some people are going to listen to for years to come. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm telling you, they are going to be blown away by it. And there will be people who will come back years later and say, what a great audio that was. You know,
yeah,
it's not to be egotistical, but I'm like, that's the way it's going to be. I was pretty sure of it.
No, you know? I completely agree with you. And it's kind of difficult because I don't know if you've noticed, but on GWA, there isn't much of a market for narrative audios. And people tend to be like, oh, this is a narration audio. Psh, I'm not going to listen to that.
Oh, I know. Don't even get me started.
Yeah. I just want one girl banging it out, moaning. Like, yeah, that's all I want.
Talking to me and so I can
making
pretend
me feel
that
special.
She's.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I'm sorry. There's nothing wrong with that, obviously.
Nothing wrong with it, but I get all like annoyed sometimes.
I do too, a little bit.
I'm such a creative person that it restricts me so much.
It really does.
To hell with you, GWA. I'm going to do my own thing.
Yeah. Honestly, anything out of that first person narration that they do is like anything out of that window is not really accepted widely. Like I remember when I did Jala and the Beast, one that LSI wrote and I narrated, that was one of my favorite pieces that I've ever done. And it took a long time because it was like reading an audiobook pretty much. But I loved the progression, the like slow progression, and the character building and the world building that he did, so much that that's one of my favorite projects I've done.
Cool. So what did you think when you first listened to the like near final version of the audio? Like,
well, I actually thought it was pretty genius because going back to the styles of narration, like you managed to put it in a first person view plus a third person like narration almost. So I thought that was genius, to be honest, because you get the best of both worlds.
It was intentionally done that way. It was intentionally done so that people who listen to it could see themselves embodying the narrator, the listener, the victim, or the robot themselves.
Yeah. And when I was listening to it, I was actually, I tend to like dissociate when I listen to audios sometimes, but I completely wanted to be you and I just didn't even focus on the fact that I was narrating it. I was like, I want to be April right now, getting fucked by this machine. Hell yeah.
So that leads me to another question. If I had asked you to perform the victim instead of the narrator, do you think you would have said yes?
If my circumstances were different, because I find it very hard to find places to record right now at this point in my life. But I would 100% have liked to have done that. I am glad that you did it though, because at this point I am not able to like yell or scream a lot where I am now. So
anyway. Yeah.
That was a long answer. Sorry. Yes. I would like to be.
You would have liked it. So even the fact that it was so precisely timed, and like you're doing these athletic like gagging sounds and pleading sounds and all that stuff. Like that's why I couldn't ask anybody else to do it. Like I couldn't do it. I couldn't, like Pretty wanted to do it too. And I'm like, I can't ask you to do this, Pretty. I can't ask anybody to do this.
Because I find that generally with this type of creation, there is a certain level of perfectionism that has to go hand in hand with it. And I definitely feel that I have a little bit of that. Do you think you do?
I do. And that, I think that was part of it also. It's like the reason I couldn't ask somebody to do it is because it's so difficult to get right.
Yeah. And that's your baby.
It would require so many iterations to get right that I'm just like, I can't ask somebody else to do this.
I understand. Yep.
And yeah, like, I'm going to reveal, because I'm one of the few who's gotten to edit Zinli uncut.
Oh,
right?
Bless you. I'm so sorry.
Zinli warned me about this. And I'm like, no, just send me. I mean, if you feel comfortable, if you're okay with it, go ahead and send me the raw audio. I have to cut it anyway. I'm going to have to edit it like crazy, no matter what. And at first you were just like, no, I can't do it.
I perfectionism, I say the same line 5 times, and in post-production, I'm editing down a 45-minute audio into a 20-minute audio. That's how much I fuck up.
Yeah. And I couldn't fully appreciate this until I got the raw audio the second time you sent it.
I still feel bad. Wow. I still feel bad about that.
No, don't feel bad. It was just amazing. Like, wow, you just repeat every line. Like, you're not satisfied. And then I commiserated with Kill about it. I'm like, okay, we're in a special
club.
Oh, you
heckin' bish. Goddamn, bringing that up with Kill. That poor fellow.
Oh, it was just so, it's like, no, Kill and I have a special bond. I think that's how I said it. And he didn't realize what I was talking about until I'm like, we've both edited raw Zinli audio. And he's like, ah, yes, 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 we do. But no, don't feel bad. And it was lovely. It was great, you know, because I needed to edit it anyway. And it was neat to see your process, you know? Mm-hmm. So to me, it's something that I know you were super like hesitant about and self-conscious about, but it's a level of trust that you gave it to me. And so that means
sweet.
A lot to me too.
I really am not confident in my voice just in general. I'm not confident in my ability to act, write, record any of it. So like, that's why I normally say, no, don't worry about it. You chill. I'm going to edit my part. No worries. It'll take me like, you know, just a little bit of time. I'll do it so that people don't realize how insecure I am.
Aww. Well, let me tell you why I asked you to do it. First thing, you were the only one I asked. Aww. And second thing, I asked you because first, our first interaction was this cute demon girl script that LSI wrote, I think specifically for you, mm-hmm. that you then filled right away. And then I filled later and I was like all super self-conscious because like you were awesome. And I was like, okay, well.
That's right.
Here's your script, LSI.
That's right. Oh, I remember that. Yeah, and you felt like you felt like, I don't know, you said something about like intruding or something, which
I felt like I was the third wheel here, you know.
Oh, or, I'm so, you know, sorry. And,
No, I mean, you know, I feel everybody feels that way when the script was written specifically for somebody and yet they released it anyway and I wanted to do it. And so I'm like, that doesn't stop me, but I was like, wow, yeah, this is made for Zinli and it shows, you know, I listened to your fill and it was just gorgeous. And
LSI
beautiful.
Is wonderful. I love him so much.
I know. Yeah. I know. And I just did another one of his recently. It was the catching your pervy sis, mm-hmm. One where she's, you know, sniffing her big brother's panties and mm-hmm. doing all that stuff. I nailed that script. I did a really good Ooh. Job, but it was because of LSI that it was so good. You know,
yeah.
I just did what he told me to do, mm-hmm. you know, but it turned into be one of the most popular scripts that I've filled.
Awesome.
In terms of upvotes and stuff like that. So
yeah, because I was going to ask, cool. most of what you do is writing, but it seems like you're branching out more into recording these days.
No, I've actually always been recording.
Oh, okay, yeah. Cool.
But I would certainly call myself, I mean, I would call myself a writer first because that's, to me, as somebody who does both, the writing is harder and more fulfilling.
Gotcha.
And just slightly, right? The performance is exhausting and difficult and it's fulfilling in its own way. But to be able to write and perform it is so, there's nothing quite like that. You know?
Yeah, I think that's pretty awesome. And performing, I pretty much always feel lightheaded afterwards.
Yes.
Just like, I need water.
Thank you. It's exhausting to do it. Especially when you're doing a lot of gagging or stuff like that. And I have to move, you know, when I do it, I have to. So I run into this problem where I've got sounds going on in the room because I'm moving.
Yeah.
Because I'm in the middle of like performing an orgasm or whatever I'm doing. And I want it to feel as real as possible. And yet be high quality recording. So I'm doing it in my studio and all that stuff. It's exhausting. It's really, really hard work.
And I remember I did an audio, I guess it was a while back, but it was like kind of a serpent girl audio and it was a collab that I did, but I was basically the only one coming throughout the entire audio and the writers had me come like four times within the span of, I think it was like 30 minutes and I was not doing well after recording that audio.
Yes. Yeah. I have a do's and don'ts of writing, which is just, it's not me telling you what you should do. It's more telling you what I do, right? My do's and don'ts of script writing. And one of my don'ts is don't like write 15 minutes worth of pure all the way sex.
Yes. Thank God.
Because it's so exhausting and you don't need to do it. Mm-hmm. Like the real sexiness comes into the setup, I think, and the situation
and
the actual performance. Yeah. The build up. Exactly. And the actual performance can be like 5 minutes, you know, and that's how I write generally, unless I'm writing corporately owned, you know.
Yeah. And things
25 minutes.
Yeah. And other performers, you know, they can improv if they really want it to be longer or whatever. So
yeah. Yeah.
That's fine.
Well, thank you for like, because I don't know that everybody feels that way. And it may be just because I really put everything into sex performance. Mm-hmm. Like it's really important to me. And it's hard to do. Mm-hmm. It's hard. Like it's hard to do well, and it's hard to do just in general.
You know, like for me, when I'm listening to audios, because I don't really watch porn that much, but if I'm listening to an audio, it's like 50-50 for me. It's the moaning that is really doing it, but it's also the sound effects that's really doing it. Mm-hmm. And if the sound effects aren't there, like it doesn't feel as authentic to me, which is why I loved that you put so many goddamn sound effects into this audio. And it really, it was so immersive. And I was just like, oh, wow, I can hear everything.
Yeah.
It took so long. I bet. And like, I have to tell you this, my favorite part of the audio was when the robot was finally done fucking her. And it pulls out and you just hear this like water, like the, I don't know how you did it, but it was like a slosh of just cum that falls on the floor.
Oh my God. I love that part.
Oh, that's so hot.
It is the best part. Like to me, that's the climax of the audio is when she's injected and when it finally takes its, you know, tools out of her.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. Tell me. Yeah.
when I first finished that part, I was just like, oh my God.
I mean,
like I got chills.
I don't want you to like spill all the tea on how you make your sound effects, but I mean, maybe I should ask you later, not during this recording, but.
No. I'm not this is mine and you can't have it kind of person.
Okay.
Like, but what I did was the sound effects for Corporately Owned were a combination of stuff that I recorded myself. Like, for example, one thing layered into the robots walking around is an office chair that I have here at home that I pounded against my tile floor and recorded.
Whoa. That's awesome.
So that's layered in there along with, you know, some Dremel tools turning on and off and stuff like that. So those servo sounds, those are all like that. I didn't record the Dremel stuff, but that's what they are.
Wow.
It's a Dremel tool turning on and off real quick.
That's really cool. Well, I know that we were just talking about how you don't enjoy social media, but do you have an Instagram?
I don't.
Okay.
I don't. I just have my Discord and I have Twitter, which I hardly am ever on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it as far as Princess April goes.
Well, there is one page on Instagram, just in case you ever get one, called Cinema Magic. And it's really cool. They do like behind the scenes glimpses of like really popular movies. And a lot of the times they'll focus on voice acting, but they'll also focus on sound design and how they'll show you like how they made the sound effects. And it's really cool. Mm-hmm. So, you can get so many different ideas for how to make certain noises just by watching that.
Yeah. So. It's like, it's amazing. Like some of the robot sounds, like, how do you do that?
Yeah.
Some of them were door latches.
Ooh. Door latches.
You know, it's like a closing a door or turning the knob or that kind of sound. It
so
really
fun.
Lends itself to the stuff like that.
I'm a really big, excuse me, like sound nerd. I love mm-hmm. music. I love everything having to do with it. And learning about that stuff is so fun to me. And I watched like a 40-minute video on how the sound designer made the swooshing noises for the lightsabers and stuff like that.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Uh-huh. Right. And, you know, I spent like years building up skills in order to do this stuff. But so the other sound effects, you know, some of them were just freesound.org sound effects. Mm. Some of them I licensed a specific library from Pro Sound Effects for robotic life forms.
Okay.
So
cool.
That is the bulk of it. But I still had to, like, you know, they're just raw servo sounds and stuff like that. So I had to mm-hmm. layer all this stuff in and
you know, I could hear like every piece of what you put in to make the noises as realistic as possible. And it was so cool. Oh, and I wanted to ask you, because I did one audio where I did a robot voice, and I actually paid for an online service to like read it in a robot voice. Mm-hmm. Did you edit it yourself to make it robot-y, or did you?
Oh yeah.
Oh
yeah.
Wow.
Everything is me. Everything is me. So like I said, I've spent years sort of learning how to do this stuff. I'm also a singer and a musician. And so,
senpai, please.
I would be happy to. Like, it's the least I could do. Like, anything I can do to repay what you've done for me. Like,
oh,
I'm serious.
You are adorable. I had a blast doing it. So it's not even that you have to repay me or anything. Just I love doing it.
Yay. I'm so glad, because I might ask you to do it again
yeah.
at some point.
Let's go. Beast
so
mode,
to complete, right. To complete my Zinli, how I got to know and why I asked you. Right. Mm-hmm. Is there was the Demon Girl script, which I loved. And then we did this incest collab together with LSI mm-hmm. sort of leading the charge on this father-daughter society incest collab.
That one was so fun, too.
was super fun. Like, I loved it. I loved every audio in it, every performance. My script is one of my favorite scripts that I've written. Mm-hmm. And Pretty filled it. And she's done like 9 of my scripts. She's just a great friend of mine. And we think alike. And so it was just all the cylinders were firing. And the one you did was written by Stray.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved that script. And I want to perform it at some point too, but I wanted to give it plenty of time to breathe and then come back at it later. But you did such a great job with it. And you have such a natural narrative voice.
Thank
that
you.
I'm like, okay, maybe Zinli. And then before I asked you, I asked LSI, because he knew you better than me. And so I'm like, would she be into this, or would she be horrified and never want to speak to me again?
I mean, if you can guess that I did, I mean, if you look at my repertoire of audio porn, some of it gets pretty dark. So I'm definitely glad that you contacted me about it. Even the Father-Daughter Society, the one that Stray wrote, Stray is really good at like those kind of twists and turns of suspense mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. getting people really enthralled in the story without realizing what's going on until the very last second, which I love. So yeah, I love audios like that.
Yeah,
for sure.
Awesome. Well, what I love about your voice and why I love it so much is, to me, listening to you narrate this story, you could easily have been the victim.
Mm-hmm.
Like you have that command of narration, like you have that command of confidence when you're narrating, but also this underlying like vulnerability underneath it all that makes it so compelling.
Wow.
And
thank you.
I think that like, I think that adds to the audio in an amazing way, I think.
Thank you, April. That's very sweet.
You're welcome.
You know, nobody really likes their own voice. I definitely don't like mine, but I just kind of, I'm like, at this point, I'm just like, I'm having fun. Whatever. Who cares?
Yeah, I'm with you. I hate mine too, but I feel like I'm a pretty good actor. So mm-hmm. even if I hate my voice,
you are,
I still have fun with it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But that's why I loved it so much. And I think it enhances it in a way that my performance didn't.
You know? Well, thank you. You're very sweet.
So there's that. And then, did you ever listen to, I sent you that music thing. Did you listen to that yet?
The one that you sent me just today?
This morning, yeah.
Yeah, I did listen to it, and I think you made the right call in not including the music. Mm-hmm. I think it could have worked, but right at the end, it kind of cut off pretty abruptly, and it was kind of left, like, where'd the music go? I don't know, because it was an integral part. It worked up until the end, I felt, actually. So.
Gotcha. Yeah, at first I was like, well, I don't know if this is going to work at all. So to let everybody know, there was a point at which I was experimenting with adding a little bit of orchestral type, movie type build music during the climax of the audio. And the climax of the audio being when the slave is injected with cum.
And it did work. I really liked it. It kept the tempo and the pace going.
Yeah, it worked better than I thought it would. And I'm like, okay, that almost works, except that number one, it covers up these amazing sounds.
Yeah,
all that I don't want to cover those up.
Sound effects.
Like, it's like hearing it without the music and hearing it with, like, if it was just with the music, I think people would have not even thought of anything and that would be fine. It would be great. But without it, it's just raw, and it makes it feel more real.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it makes it feel like more visceral, and I didn't want to lose that, so that's why I didn't keep it.
I think you made a good call on that, because I love how it turned out in that scene. So I think leaving the music out was probably the better choice.
Yeah, I thought so too, and I got some opinions on that too. LSI listened to it, and I had another friend who was listening to it as I was making it. She's a huge, like, fan of Corporately Owned. But the other question that even Zinli brought up that I had thought of before, there's a point at which the narrator is like, is this too much for you? Do you need a break? You know?
Oh, that's too bad, you little bitch.
Exactly. And initially I actually had it where she stops the recording, where she says, okay, you know, beep, 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 beep. And then the recording stops and she talks and she says, you have to remember, this girl did not get a break. And here's what's going to happen next, you know, but we don't have to listen to her gagging right now. You just listen to me. And then I'll resume the audio later. And I had that in there, and I sent it to LSI, and LSI was like, yeah, I thought that kind of took me out of it. Like, okay, good to know. And then I put it back in. I put all the stuff back in. And then Zinli independently, without anybody prompting her, asked, should we have a break here? I'm like, well, maybe we should. I don't know. But I took it out, and here's what it was like before. So did you feel that we made the right choice keeping it in?
Yeah, I think
keeping it unbroken, you know?
Mm-hmm. I think we made the right choice. I still feel like it maybe could have worked if we had switched up the narration wording just a little bit. Mm-hmm. But because the narration, it kind of, you know, she stops and then it kind of just keeps, she, you know, pauses for a little bit and then it kind of keeps going. But if we had paused and she talks about it and pauses again and then resumes, I think it could have done something. But the way that it was written, I definitely think we made the right choice, and it still works, like, perfectly, keeping the moans in the background. So, yeah.
Yeah, at first I was just like, man, this is the reason I thought that I wanted the break was that, oh, this is so brutal. Like, this poor girl. And the listener might get exhausted listening to this poor girl just being continuously, you know, penetrated and choked and all that stuff. And I was like, oh, is that going to bug people? Is that going to be too much? And then I decided no, because I was thinking from the narrator's perspective, like, no, you know, she didn't get a break. You don't get a break.
I love that.
You know, it was kind of bringing her point home. And so that's why I was like, ah, yeah, okay. Yeah. So, yeah. So, I had like to moving on from Corporate Leone, unless you had other questions for me.
I was mostly just amazed by your sound effect creation and your editing. And you, by the way, you edited my raw footage super quickly. Like it was done that next morning after I sent it to you pretty much. So
yep,
good job.
Yep. Yeah. Well, part of it is, are you still working? Are you working in Audacity?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Audacity, I mean, it's great. It's free. It's powerful.
It's free.
It allows people to get into audios really fast. But I work with professional, you know, studio software, digital audio workstation software that's that makes editing like that, once you understand how to do it, so much easier than Audacity. It is so, and it's again, I can, you know, help you if you're interested, but.
Yeah, the only one that I think I could get my hands on is like the Adobe version of audio editing. I can't remember what it's called right now, but
I forget what it's called too.
Yeah, I have an Adobe,
Creative Cloud license or something.
Yeah, exactly. But I just have been so used to using Audacity because it's what I started with. And I don't know. I don't know. Maybe
well,
I'm too
doing
stuck in my ways.
Yeah. Well, I understand. I understand. Other people are like that too. But I am telling you, Zinli, if you learn just a few things, editing is so much faster than Audacity can do it. And so much easier. So much easier because it uses a non-destructive process, whereas Audacity is all destructive, you know, where you know, you're cutting things and you're actually cutting things out of the file.
Yeah, it's rough.
Yeah, in Reaper or Cubase or some of these other things, it's a non-destructive process and you can just move stuff around, cut it into little bits, you know, it's so easy.
Effortless.
As many tracks as you need. Whereas Audacity has like, what, two that are mixing together or something like that?
Well, the thing that I don't like about Audacity is exactly what you said, it in the destructive way, because I'll cut something that I need the space to stay there, but the audio can't stay there. And like it just completely moves the entire thing to the left and I don't, it's rough, but.
Yes. It is. It is rough, which is why I would never, ever, ever use it. But that said, I've got the background and stuff. But that said, it's not too hard to learn. It's really not. So cool. If you're interested, I'd be happy to show you some stuff.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
And Reaper is free. I mean, at least it starts free and then it's very cheap to get a full license for. It's like $60 or something like that.
Reaper, huh? I'm going to write that down.
Yeah. Reaper or Cubase Elements, if you really want me to teach you like the ins and outs, like that I know it backwards and forwards, Cubase Elements for $100 will get you more than you could possibly need.
Cool. Okay. Good to know.
So
Good to know.
I'd be happy to. I did that with Kasi, my friend Kasi, who did my other special project, Motif Therapy. I got her started with Cubase and editing there and sort of got her agreeing that editing is much easier.
Awesome. Well, thank you. You're sweet.
Yeah. So let's see. We covered your unique way of recording audios, which is say everything at least three times. I'm just kidding. I'm giving you a hard time, but it's true though. Like you gave me like 45 minutes of audio that I had to edit down to 20-25 minutes or something.
Yeah, and that's why if I ever find that I'm getting to, because I get tense like when I record, I'm like, it has to be perfect, it has to be exactly like this. So if I ever get too bogged down by that process, I really just like recording ramble faps just because it kind of releases all the pressure and I can actually have fun when I'm doing ramble faps. And I have fun recording normal audios, but I just get, I get tense. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I understand. Recording, if it's not my script, recording somebody else's script can be just really exhausting, really hard work, you know. Like, it's great. It's satisfying once you've got it done. But the process is work. It just is, at least for me. Yep. Sometimes. I've never tried a Ramble Fap though. At some point I'll try it, but
they're fun. You should do a hysterical lit reading. Those are the best.
Okay. Noted. I'll write that down. So, what if someone wants to collaborate with you on a project, like you do a lot of collabs, what's the best way for them to approach you? What are some of the do's and don'ts of working with you? Once you do agree to do a collab.
So the best way to get in contact with me for collabs is on Reddit. And I mean, I pretty much, if someone reaches out, I will pretty much always say yes, unless I'm super busy. And I've really gotten myself into trouble a lot by taking on too many projects at once.
Yeah.
So that's something I have an issue with. but that's my own problem. It's not anyone else's like issue. So, I guess the do's and don'ts just in general, you mean, like if someone wants
working
to
do's and don'ts of working with you once you do agree to collab, like what has made you regret saying yes to somebody?
Some of what makes me regret saying yes is if the script is not fully thought out yet. Like I feel like finding voices should be the last stage after, you know, you've written it, you've come up with the full concept and everything. Mm-hmm. I am not too intrigued, by projects that are not completely written yet. I think I had one not too long ago that came to me and they were like, "Hey, Zinli, you want to work on this? It's like a collaborative project." And I thought that they just wanted my voice, but they kind of wanted me to like edit the script or like look at the script and review it and like add anything that I wanted to it. And I don't know. I was not too into that. But if they had approached me as, you know, it's something we want you to put your voice to as well, like your writing style in and your voice, I would have been better with that. But yeah, I don't know. That was a little bit of a struggle.
So if somebody, say me, for example, wanted to write a script for you, for example, which I'm going to do, actually, spoiler alert, because Zinli and I have already talked about it. So I don't
Thank
do that.
You for offering.
Yeah, I don't do that unless I ask first and we have some kind of preliminary conversation about what you like and what I like. I don't start writing scripts for other people unless they know I'm doing it. Mm-hmm. So if somebody was to write a script for you, you don't necessarily want to be involved in anything more than sort of general concept kind of stuff, or how involved would you want to be in that?
It's difficult for me just because my schedule is pretty busy. The thing that I kind of ask is just for people to approach me with like everything up front that they want me to do. That way I can have a really good grasp on whether or not I can do it or have time to do it, etc. So like, for instance, you were like, "I just need your voice and here is everything in the audio that you could potentially take umbrage with. Will you do it?" And it's stuff like that makes me want to go, "Yeah, let's get it done."
Okay. But I was worried because I was like, okay, like everything's done. All I need Zinli to do is like speak slowly into a microphone, like more slowly than she's used to. That's all I need you to do. And I feel like, maybe that's not fun for you, you know?
Oh,
so I get a little like, this is so, so totally pro that it's not ticking any of your buttons for being a collaborator, you know. That's what I worried about when I presented this specifically to you, that I was worried that you didn't feel like you were being really included in the creative process.
I feel much more relaxed and much more at ease with recording if it's just upfront with me about what I have to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I remember there was one project that I tried working on. It wasn't like an F for F collab or anything. It was just like they wanted me to voice a project for them. And the concept was not totally laid out yet. The emotions that they wanted me to convey, I wish I had it pulled up in front of me right now, but they literally listed like six different emotions before they said, say this line. And the line was only like, what, five words long. And mm-hmm. every time I would send them, a take, they would be like, no, it doesn't exactly sound how we want. Can you try this emotion, this emotion, this emotion, all wrapped up into one? And I was like, it sounds like you guys don't really know what you want yet. Like, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I don't know. That one was the hardest one for me, where it kind of became begrudgingly participated. That's kind of a don't for me. But as long as people are upfront and they're like, either we want to collaborate with you, will you help me write it and then voice it? Will you just voice it? Will you just help me edit? Like, as long as people tell me what they want me to do up front, I'm totally good to go.
Right. So. Cool. Yeah. I remember like when I had Cassie do Cassidia, you Cassidia from Reddit, when I had her do Motif Therapy, which was an ambitious project because it's an hour and a half of audio. And it's broken up into 30 minutes. So 30 minutes is the first session of therapy. Second session is 30 minutes. And the third session is 30 minutes. And it goes progressively more insane and dark as you go. It's fantastic. Nice. But part of what I asked Cassie to do was like after each one, because I needed to like mess with her voice and add sound effects to it and delay effects and all this stuff, because she's basically sort of talking this person under and they're hearing the echoes and all this stuff. Is I had to, at the end, I'm like, okay, here's this list of horribly naughty words that I need you to say just out of context in various different ways. You know, like say slut like five different ways, say whore five different ways. I mean, you know, and because that way I could sort of layer in this sort of undertow of delay, echoey Cassie voice, therapist mm-hmm. voice, to create that soundscape of what the patient is going through. You know, mm-hmm. and it was funny because she was just like, I don't know how to say this. You know, it's just, she commented as she's recording, but she did a great job. She did great, but I knew it was a weird ask, but she did it, you know?
And that's the thing. Like sometimes we just don't know what is going to be mm-hmm. happening. And I think that's pretty fun. Like whenever I get direction from someone who's directing a project pretty much, and they're just mm-hmm. like, I need you to say this line three different ways just in case. That's like fine by me. I kind of love doing that because it's whenever I listen to the final project, it's fun to see which one they put in and used.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cool. So any other things that you want to talk about or any other questions for me?
Not quite. I mostly asked you about your editing process and the writing, and I mean, it was a great project to get to work with you on. So thank you for choosing me.
No, thank you for doing it. I can't say that enough, and I'll say it again and again. what you do in lending your voice to me as a trans person who doesn't have the voice that I would like to have. I do the best with the stuff that I, that, you know, the voice altering stuff that I do, but I don't have what you have, and I don't have what Pretty has or Snakey or any of these other people that I just like, ah, oh, I wish I did. But you lending your voice to me, you know, giving your voice to my words for a little while, it allows me to express myself in a way that I cannot express myself myself, right? And that's what it means to me. And I can't express how meaningful that is. And so thank you for doing this project with me.
Absolutely. It was honestly a joy to work with you, and I'm definitely an advocate of freedom of expression. So the fact that you do this as your fun pastime is really awesome to me. And I would love to work with you on another project in the future. Getting to work with you on this, and you were so patient, you were so nice, and oh my God, it was amazing. So yeah. Thank you. I loved it.
Awesome. Well, thank you for doing this with me. I hope people who are listening enjoyed it. I think that there will at least be a few people that will just gobble it up, and anybody else, I just don't care. So
awesome.
I had a great time.
That's the way to go. I did too. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Zinli. And next time.
All right. Sounds good.
Okay.